This morning you got a Bible. Turn over with us in the book of Psalms, chapter number 85, and verse number 6. And let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God this morning, found over in the book of Psalms, chapter number 85, and verse number 6. I appreciate the men praying in the prayer circle this morning. Amen. Aren't you glad you go to church where the old songs are sung? Amen. It still works. And I thank the Lord for it. Book of Psalms, chapter number 85, verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Thank you for standing this morning. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we praise your good name today. Lord, I just ask you, would you preach through me a few minutes this morning? Lord, would you let me be a blessing? Lord, would you let me be a vessel? God, the things that you filled me with, now would you pour it out? Lord, I don't want to be a spilt vessel. I want to be a poured out vessel. I want to be in your hands, God, and would you pour me out where I need to be put? Help us with your word now, and we'll be grateful. Would you help me to get out of the way this morning? Would you send the Holy Ghost, Lord, and exalt your Son where he needs to be in this place this morning? Help us, I pray now. Thank you for this church and these people. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that I feel turning in my heart this morning. Thank you for these sisters that stood the test of time, that have sang these old songs. We love you, Lord, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I'm interested in the topic of revival this morning. God has entrusted me with a great library. But it's amazing to me of the books that I can find on revival. And I was searching the Lord and sort of asking in my spirit, Lord, why can't I find more study on revival? And I believe the Lord spoke back to my spirit by the Holy Ghost and said, because not many men have ever experienced revival. You see, you got to know about something before you can write about something. You take a little old feller, still wet behind the ears, been married about a year. I don't know if I want to read his book on marriage much. But you show me an old boy, honey, that's went with it through the thick and thin, been married 30, 40, 50 years. I want to hear something he got to say. But this morning, this topic of revival, I want to say in Isaiah 57, in verse number 15, you won't have to turn there because I'm going to go to some verses today. But in Isaiah 57, in verse number 15, I want to talk about the reeds of revival. The reeds of revival. I'm glad that you can read about revival. I'm glad that we go to church this morning that we don't have to read about what God used to do. But we can go to church and experience in the day and hour what God is doing. But here in revival, I want to talk about the reeds of revival. In Isaiah 57 and 15, he said, For thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity. You need to be thinking about that word, because we're all going to experience it in our life one day. And honey, eternity is way too long to be wrong this morning. Eternity, what a word, whose name is holy, and he's still holy. And it don't matter how you live or how you look, he's still holy this morning. God's house is still holy. This is holy ground. Hey, we ain't got a Starbucks in our foyer, honey. We don't pass out cookies and animal crackers. This is the house of God. The house of God ought to be holy ground. people come by and throw trash out on the lawn, out in the ditch. I wish they'd have a flat tire about at the city limit. Somebody say amen right there. I come over here last Sunday and got the ice off the steps. Somebody throw a cigarette down at the front of the steps out there. I got the, I'd love to have seen that idiot. Amen. Don't you throw your cigarette butts on this doorstep. Y'all scared, ain't you? Scared, ain't you? The reeds of revival. He said this, His name's holy, and I dwell in the high and the holy place with Him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Here's the word, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Now the reeds of revival, I want to say first of all, God lives at a high place. He sees everyone this morning. And you know, a lot of times we put on a nice show, don't we? Man, I picked out my outfit this morning, tried to get everything matching to the T. And if you'd see me walk in, you'd say, now, there comes a well-dressed Christian. But I done found out this morning about preaching a long time and pastoring Baptist churches, honey. It ain't what's on the outside that God's interested in. It's what's on the inside of God's people this morning. He's the high and lofty one, and He sees everything. He knows what you're doing with the lights cut off. He knows what you're doing with the door closed. You're not going to hide nothing before this high and lofty one. He's God and sees everything this morning. The reeds of revival. He lives at the high place. And you'll notice the Bible says that He listens from the holy place. Hey, you're not going to get nowhere from God living like the devil and saying these little shoeshine prayers, honey. We ought to get our heart right with God and sin out of our life and get these stumbling blocks out of our spirit and we can get some prayers through by the grace of God. You live like the devil, don't you say you're praying for me. You can't even pray for yourself yet. The reeds of revival. He lives at a high place. He listens from a holy place. But He lives from a humble place. Watch what He said. He said, I dwell in the high and holy place with Him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Now, some of you just sorry you got caught. But when you get sorry for what you're doing and what you've done, God said He would hear from the holy place and send you revival in your life. A lot of folks say, well, baptized 24th Sunday night, y'all's church in revival. No, but I hope it's going there. That was a move of God. It ain't revival. Revival is dealing with sin in saved people. You're not going to have revival in your life till you deal with the sin issue. The reeds of revival. He said, I'll hear from you when you get at the right place. I'll hear from you when you have an humble and a contrite spirit. That means sorrowful and really genuinely repentant, wanting to change. And honey, when you get that way, something helps on the way. We see people come and make professions of faith and seeing eye dogs, can't find them on Sunday night. Now, there's something wrong with that. But honey, when you get broke and you weep your way to God, He said, He'd hear you from the Holy Spirit. The reeds of revival. Number two, the needs of revival. Can I tell you that revival is not for the world. Revival's for the church. Revival's for the people of God. And I will remind you what God said over in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. You used to hear the preachers of old time. They'd preach on this topic nearly every revival meeting. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. And He says this in verse 14. If my people, not Obama's people, not Bush's people, but my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and watch this, and will heal their land. Honey, the Obama plan is not what's going to fix this outfit. It's God's people that's always fixed the country. It's God's people that's lived right, that could get in touch with Him. It's the one that could change our surroundings. This, and I'm convinced, you say we don't need Christians. Hang on a minute, honey. Let me tell you, did you know the only thing holding this world together is Christians? Do you know the only reason that God didn't slaughter the Egyptian people that time? Because He had some young'uns over there in Egypt. You know how come He didn't burn up Sodom and Gomorrah? Because He couldn't until He got His young'uns out of there. Honey, it's coming a day when the voice of the archangel shall sound and the trump of God, and we're getting out of this outfit, and there's fixing to be chaos go on like what's never seen in this world. God's people can change things. Amen. He said if we just get together and humble ourselves and pray. Our problem is we got too much pride. We say we in recession. We ain't in recession, honey. There's too many possums on the side of the road that ain't eat up. If we in recession, roadkill would be clean. We'd be beating the buzzards after roadkill. It was in recession. I waited last night an hour and 15 minutes on the sidewalk in order to eat. It doesn't look like we're in a recession to me. Matter of fact, I think I'm half goofy. God's people change things. And we always want to say, well, you know, if the president would do this and do that, it would help our world, and it may help our world. But honey, the only thing that's going to cure our world is if God would send revival in the church house of America. I'd like to say if the people of God are getting revival in the church house of America, God's done all He needs to do. The needs of revival. I want to say that a lot of people, they wonder, I hear this so much, that revival's sovereign. Revival ain't sovereign. No. Your salvation's sovereign. But honey, revival's not sovereign. And I want to say this. We say that a miracle brings revival. But that's really not doctrinally correct. You see, a miracle has been generally defined to be a divine interference, a setting aside or suspending the laws of nature. A revival is not a miracle in this sense. All the laws of matter and mind remain in force, and they are neither suspended nor set aside in revival. In other words, God has given us everything we need to have revival. Revival's not sovereign. Revival is obedience following the unction of the Holy Ghost, that the revival fires of God would burn in our heart again. We don't need a miracle for revival. We need to act on the Word of God of what He's done given us. You say, well, revival's so sovereign. Let me ask you something. I'd love to tell you to go out and tell all these old-time farmers that if God wants to send you something to eat, He will, and you don't plow no ground, and you don't plant no crops, and you just sit there and wait on God. You'll starve, buddy. You know why you'll starve? Because God said, if you don't work, you won't eat. He won't go against the principles of that Bible. He said, if you're going to get saved, you're going to trust Jesus. The only way to heaven or in hell, you'll lift your eye. He can't go against the Word of God. Revival is not miracle. Revival is obeying the Word of God in each and every one of our hearts this morning. I'm convinced of the needs of revival. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that we need revival? Well, I will say, first of all, we need revival when there's want of brotherly love. When you don't love your brother and sister, you need revival this morning. These people here at our church I've never seen for the first time, but I'm glad you're here. And I want to tell you, I love you in the Lord. And I've never liked nobody thought they were sitting on a limb higher than where I'm at. Let me tell you, you're welcome at Liberty Baptist Church. I'm glad we go to church where we can love the brother and sister. But there's some here that you've lost your love for your brother and sisters. I'd say that you need revival in your heart this morning. The needs of revival. When you don't have the love for your brother and sister, and also when Christians have sunk down into a low and a backslidden state. I want to say something about what we're watching in our homes real quick this morning. I'll take my coat off before we go there. Did you know our forefathers would turn over in the grave if they knew what was coming in our houses on that one-eyed devil? I got TVs. I'm not a legalist. I'm just saying this morning when Christians have sunk down to a low and backslidden state, it's time for revival. Oh my goodness, when there are dissensions and jealousies and evil speakings among Christians, these things show that Christians have got far from God, and religion cannot prosper with such things in the church. Nothing can put an end to them like that of Holy Ghost revival. When there's a worldly spirit in the church, and Christians have conformed to the world's dress, I want to put it apart right here just a minute and get out. When Christians have conformed to the world's dress. Honey, when your little dress ain't enough dress to wad a shotgun, you ain't got enough dress on. And when you come down to the altar and you get ready to pray and somebody go throw a quilt on you to cover up your little backside, you ain't got enough dress on. Amen. Now go on, smile, because we're still preaching. Fellas, you walk in with your shirt undone, a big gold chain on, look like you fixing to pull guns like Matt Dillon. I mean, you're so caught up in yourself. Amen. I want to go and expose something. We talk about Joel Osteen. You say, preacher, you jealous because he's pastor that. No, I'm not jealous. I wish I had that kind of opportunity to preach to that many naive people. Honey, let me tell you, the Holy Ghost has never been in the building up flesh business. He's always killed flesh and destroyed flesh. Joel Osteen is promoting a prosperity gospel that's not in our Bible. You say health and wealth, honey. It ain't in your Bible, health and wealth, if you serve God. What about Job? Was nobody like him? Lost everything he had. But that ain't the end of the story. God give him double everything he had. Say, what about them youngins? Preacher said he lost 10 on this side. God only give him 10. How come you say he doubled everything he had? He didn't give him but 10 back. Oh, you don't know the end of the story, honey. He had 10 over across the river, and he had 10 on this side of the river. And Lord God, when he got home, that's all his. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I got bumps on me a hog can bite. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. When we've conformed to the world's dress and the world's looks, honey, let me tell you, no, you ain't got to wear your dress down to the ground and you ain't got to bob your hair off, but you need to look like a Christian, amen. Come walking in. What's the rain, you'd drown. Well, I got to get some of you mad to leave. Ain't no place to sit. Some of you just hanging around breathing air. You need to move on. Honey, when we've conformed to the world's standard, the world's dress and the world's look, and I will say the world's music. Ain't nobody's tractor sexy. Tear in my beer. Lord God. I heard one other day, I wish I could remember, but I can't remember it. Man, y'all walk in Walmart down there in the TV section, they got on CMT, and you walk up and your foot does this. You come to the house of God, you like it. You get out and hear CMT saying, down, 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 down. I get in your vehicle and you got Led Zeppelin jamming. Say, Lord God, no wonder you crazy. Amen. Crazy. Amen. That's music for crazy people. Leonard Skinner. Let's get old Garth. You'll never beat the songs in this old redback hymnal. You'll never beat the songs of the old, old story. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Oh my goodness, this morning we need revival. When we've conformed to the world's standards, the world's dress, the world's speech, the world's music and the world's amusements, the world's entertainments, and the world's ways of operations. Can I tell you, honey, just because you can run a business don't mean you can run a church. No place, no, I challenge you, Bible scholar. No place in your Bible can you show me where any New Testament church voted on nothing. We've adopted the world standards. Just because men have been good business partners, they've ordained them, know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Baptist churches now, they fill these old moss backs. Preacher get up and preach and they take him out back. And the men ain't got enough guts to override them four or five running the church. You say, preacher, you sure are brassy. I'm just feeling my oats this morning. Miss Renee fed me a good breakfast. Special K, hallelujah. Some of you ought to try it sometime. We've adopted the world's standards and wonder why it ain't no Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't interested in a bunch of voting and a bunch of opinions. The Holy Ghost is interested in what heaven's saying. Matter of fact, the Bible says He listens to heaven and He speaks what heaven's saying. And before you'll ever know what heaven's saying, you better have some leadership that knows how to listen from heaven. Can I use, I'm not going to call no names because radio and internet. We had a good bit of people saved the other Sunday night. There's a man, one of our members come to him and said, we had so many saved Sunday night. And I said, my goodness, what'd your preacher preach? He said, our preacher didn't even preach. You know what that idiot said? Well, I'd take that out of his pay. Oh, Lord, I'm glad he ain't here this morning. Oh, God, I'd pull every gun out. I'd go out in that Suburban. I'd pull me a shotgun out this morning. Son, I'd pull everything I had. Boy, billy clubs, nooks, everything I got. Son, I'd be swinging at everything that moved. Well, I'd take that out of his pay. Clueless. Can I say this so y'all can understand it? Embowed and lingo ain't got a clue. I love what the man said. He said, no, we're going to give our preacher a raise because he listens to the Holy Ghost. Take that back to your praise team. Something mean in me this morning, boy. I come back from Kentucky, I'm filled with them old woods people. I preach sweet over there. Lord, I come home, I'm nailing your hides this morning. Needs. Brother Dean was preaching. You don't know Brother Dean, he'll be here Sunday. Just bring your seat belts and handcuffs.
He run a revival meeting, broke out. Thursday night, didn't get to preach, come back Friday night. Boy, ain't it just a blessing when God moves? I mean, you just get the blind staggers.
Old Treasure walked up to him. He said, "Here's your check. Should I deducted Thursday night because you didn't preach?"
While I'm there, our church helped him a lot last week, and our church helped him a lot this week. While I'm right there too, and got you quiet, and you wondering what in the world I'm going to say next. That missionary from India sat over here Sunday night. Our church bought his plane ticket going to Indian Revival in April. Going to be 10,000 people there, say. I wonder what kind of credit Liberty Baptist Church is going to get out of that campaign. You put your offering in the plate. At least it ain't going out to some old graveyard fund. I done found out how to keep you from fussing about your money you give. Just give it all away. Just give it all away, then you don't think you got nothing to sit here and fuss over. Well, we got some new folks. We need to go back through money 101 right quick. I just wanted to be sure. Some of y'all, I'm going to give you what Brother Boatner said. Holy Ghost doesn't need to say that or not. Some of you preachers that have helped you, he told me this. I preached about an hour one night, and he said, "Son, we ain't paying you by the hour." I like it, don't you, Brother Gerald? Yeah. Not many men preach an hour and hold attention. That's why I got me a watch. I've been 30 minutes. Are we okay so far? Are y'all right so far? Are you okay so far? The needs of revival. You need any revival. Tonight, I was wondering where the Lord, Brother Martin, I've got about 5 pages here on revival. And I was wondering, I said, "Lord, I know I can't preach all that this morning." So where I cut it off at? You see, when there's a worldly spirit in the church, Christians need revival. When the church finds its members falling into gross and scandalous sins, it's time for revival. When there's a spirit of controversy in the church, there can be no spirit of unity of revival when the spirit of controversy prevails. When the world, listen to me, when the world is comfortable in our place of worship, and sinners are not bothered for being here, then we need revival. Thank God I love it when people leave. Visitors come and say, "Man, I don't like that church." Why don't you like that church? When people are friendly. Oh, people are real friendly, but they scared me to death. Well, you ought to thank the Lord this morning. You're not sitting in a place full of icicles. You ought to thank the Lord. You're sitting around a place where the Holy Ghost is a-moving. And God is a-hipping. You know, I talk about these needs of revival. He said, "Lord, if you'd just send me revival and let me enjoy my salvation." Some of you, why don't you sing in the choir the way you used to? When I first started with you 15 years ago, you'd get in the choir and sing, "Why ain't you doing that today?" You used to stand up and testify. What's got wrong with you? You used to be willing to do anything. Now you're just sitting there drying up, going to be blowed away. What's wrong with you? I wish God would send revivals to individuals. He don't send it to places. You can have revival by obeying the Word of God in your life. Let me tell you something. If you don't act on what God sends you, you're not going to have revival. And I'm not belittling God, but one of the best illustrations I know, like a checkerboard. You take a checkerboard, honey, and God moves. You know what? He's waiting before you're going to hear anything. You're going to have to make the move He's done told you to move. And you ain't getting no more light. You ain't getting no more nothing till you do what He's done told you to do. Lord told me to walk out of my job. I said, Lord, I met Brother Mike Rollins right in front of that chapel about a year before I resigned. I said, Brother Mike, God's wanting me to quit my job. He never changed His mind. I don't know about y'all. Some of y'all can pray and get God to change His mind. I done found once He got His mind made up about me, I mean, I just got to conform to Him. Some of you right now, the reason you ain't experiencing revival in your life because you're not minding what the Holy Ghost has done showed you to do. And you know something? Wouldn't it be a blessing if you got so thrilled about Jesus, so thrilled about being saved, you was willing to do anything that God wanted you to do? Ain't it a blessing to be around people like that? I mean, ain't it a blessing? So there's the reeds of revival. And my goodness, there's the needs of revival. I read after one man, and this is what he said. He said, one of the reasons that we're not having revivals is the ministers have turned aside to vain janglings. They've given up their attention to church politics, church government, and entertainments of various kinds. The ministers have been diverted to an alarming and most injurious extent from promoting revival and holiness out of the church. Is it not a fact in our own experience and observation that ministers have, to a great alarming extent, suffered themselves to be diverted from the direct work of promoting sinners to be saved and the sanctification of the church? You don't hear much no more, Brother Wayne, preachers preaching about holy living, business deals. Tell you something, honey, if I shake your hand, that's a contract. Bible said, let your yea be yea, and your no, no. And it ain't no options. It ain't no smoozing. That's the reeds of revival. Then that's the needs of revival. But then lastly this morning, I close with the heeds of revival. To take the heed of revival. You see, revival always includes conviction of sin. Some of you don't like coming here because it's a sin issue. It's amazing to me, if you just puke up sin, how much better week you have. There's nothing no more miserable than a child of God filled with sin. Nothing no more miserable. Miss Renee talked about it last night. She says she's always scared to let her daddy know, but also she was too ashamed to let her daddy down. She didn't want her daddy to find out nothing she was doing. You know, that I think we've lost that in this generation. Some of you young'uns, you gloat in your sin in front of your mom and daddy. I mean, you gloat about how stupid you've been. And then us that are saved, we love to walk around with that sin on us thinking, well, God, it don't matter. It does matter, friend. It takes a lot to have revival. I can tell you always in this book, anybody ever experienced revival, there was a conviction of sin. Number two, there was a confession to the Savior. If you're sorry of your sin, you ought to confess it to Him. Say, God, I'm sorry for it. And you know, he says, let me tell you, you people just got saved. You're going to sin. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. But I love what Brother Randy said. You ought to have heard that sermon this morning. The Bible said one minute, Peter said, Lord, I'll go with the end of the world. Next minute, he was around the wrong fire and he let down Jesus. When he saw him, he wept bitterly. Peter didn't sit there sobbing in what he had done. He got up and brushed off and moved on. I love what my son-in-law tells my grandbaby. She falls. You know what he says? Hold in, Brother Mike. You know what he says? Just brush off and move on. You all see that little thing get up, she'll say. You're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. But you listen to this preacher this morning. Jesus said, if we'd confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Failure ain't final, friend. I'm glad I go to church where failure ain't final. If you don't believe God ain't a God of second, third, and fourth, and five chances, honey, you better rip the book of Psalms out of your Bible and quit reading. Because He is a God that forgives. What some you need to do this morning is confess to God and get up and brush off and go on for the glory. What kind of light could you be for your family if you'd get right with God? What kind of blessing could you be in our church if you'd get right with God? We need revival in our hearts. But we're never going to have revival till we deal with sin and we confess that sin. Number three, not only will it be a conviction of sin and a confessing to the Savior, there's also a conforming to the Spirit. What's God wanting you to do? Conforming to the Spirit. He knows best. Let me share, won't you come if you would. He knows what we need. Can I show you a verse? Boy, really, help me. I don't have it marked. I hope I can find it. Turn with me over in the book of John. Here it is. John 16 and verse 13. I'm talking about before you have revival, the heeds of revival. You're going to have to conform to the Spirit. You're going to have to do what the Spirit of God's wanting you to do. Now you watch this and you underline it because we run our church this way. The Bible said in John 16 verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth's come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, watch this, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Where is He getting these orders? The Holy Ghost is getting His orders from headquarters. God's telling the Holy Ghost, you go down there and you put in the heart of that preacher what we need to do at that place. You go over there and you put in the heart of them people what needs to be done in their lives, at their job. Don't you see? Whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak. That's why we don't like the Holy Ghost a lot, because He tells us the truth. And Brother Randy talked about that. Truth. Now you got two options when truth comes. One, you can reject truth. Or two, you can accept truth, say, God, it's exactly what You said it is. It's sin and You're not happy with that in my life. And buddy, I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost has no problem with telling you the truth. That's why we don't like Him a lot. What He hears, He speaks. God says, Holy Ghost, go tell Brother Tim it's what he needs in his life. Holy Ghost, go tell Brother Ken what he's got to do. What He hears, He speaks. What's He telling you this morning? I mean, would you really in your heart like revival? I've always been the type, and I'm sorry. This is where I've never been the type to have one foot in something that's halfway fooling around with something and then get out. If I'm going to deer hunt, buddy, I'm going to deer hunt. If I'm going to fool with something, I'm fixing to give all I got to it. Wouldn't it be a blessing if in your heart this morning you really wanted revival? I mean, really. The reeds of revival. We read about it. The needs of revival. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you got excited about Jesus? Hey, you grandparents, let me tell you something. Listen to this old preacher this morning. Your grandbabies may know where you play ball and where you hunt and fish, but they know where you pray. They know where you go to church. Do they know your God, your Jesus? Last thing. The heeds of revival. If you're going to have revival, it's going to be a conviction of sin, going to be a confessing to the Savior. It's going to be a conforming to the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you this always, it's going to be a condemning of self. condemning of self. You're not going to get no better till you let the air out of self. It's not about me and you. It's about Jesus. The Lamb of God takes away the sin. It'd help your marriage if you wasn't so self-centered. Lord, wouldn't that be a blessing if we thought about others? Well, what you going to do about revival? I mean, really, I'm just not preaching this sermon just because I ain't got nothing to pray. I want to challenge you. What's going on in your life and in your heart? God, would you send Christians revival this morning? God, would you deal with sin? God, would you? Brother Dave, would you come stand all around the house? What's your number, Brother David? Number one.